Chasing Arrows by Alia Valtz. He came from Florida, though I forgot which part as soon as he said it. Definitely not Miami. His skin was a fierce pink, and he wore a turquoise Marlins hat backwards, a loose-fitting tank top, and board shorts. Pudgy, 30-something, reeking of booze. Something about the guy I liked. He had a big, drunk laugh and seemed unstable in a refreshing way. That afternoon in Puerto Vallarta was golden and sweaty. Tourists stumbled down the buckled sidewalk, blinking into shadowy knick-knack shops. Local children worked the crowd with gap-toothed smiles and distended bellies, hawking gum and wilted roses. I ducked into a tattoo parlor to soak up the air conditioning and browse the wall. The designs were neither good nor bad, standard issue skulls with serpents threading through vacant eye sockets, overcomplicated, uninteresting tattoos. "Are you gonna get one too?" Florida slurred. "Just browsing," I answered flatly, in no mood for a drunken come on. "Bet your ass I'm getting my first tat today. Help me pick it." I laughed, feeling myself get reeled in. "You have to choose your own tattoo, unwritten rule." "But what looks badass?" I pointed to a grim reaper riding a skeleton horse through a winter forest. It was awful. "Okay, bro," he said, a game for anything face. "What one are you getting?" "Not today." "Scared?" I shook my head. "Broke." "No fucking way, bro," he boomed, pointing a booze-swollen finger at me. "If I'm getting tatted, you're getting tatted. I'm buying." Our connection was nonsensical. I remember liking that he called me bro, even though compulsive nicknaming usually annoyed me. He seemed sincere, like he really needed a bro. In my case, a female bro. Any other time, I would have brushed him off, but Florida caught me in an unusual state of mind. I'd been traveling for almost a year. I was crazy with road magic. No order, no rules, zero plan. Open to suggestions. 10 months earlier, I'd sold everything that wouldn't fit into a backpack and left for Spain. It wasn't a calm decision. Since high school, I'd been acutely aware of my future pressing in on me. I'd gotten a dull office job and watched 5 years zoom past from the confines of a cubicle. So afraid of choosing the wrong path, I went nowhere. At 22, I felt trapped inside a version of myself I didn't respect. Spain was my emergency ejection seat. Several months into my trip, I read about the Camino de Santiago, a 790-kilometer pilgrimage across Iberia, from the French Pyrenees to the Atlantic Ocean. I began the walk confident that I would find myself along the way. The trail is marked by golden arrows, embedded in cobblestones, spray-painted on tree trunks, carved into walls. Through mountain ranges, medieval villages, metropolises, farmland, deserts, and suburbs. No matter what unfolded around or inside me, my directive remained simple. Walk forward. The arrows silenced my anxiety. The pilgrimage ended at a lavish cathedral, but the trail continued 40 kilometers to the cliffs of Finisterre, the end of the earth. High on the cliff, beside a bronze sculpture of a hiking boot with its laces undone, there was a smoldering fire pit in which pilgrims could burn their walking sticks. But fire seemed too final. I wasn't ready for the end. Standing at the cliff's ragged edge, I threw my walking stick into the churning waves 450 feet below. I was determined not to return to my old anxious life. I spun through France, Italy, and Austria in a kind of feckless mania, rootless, routeless, and broke. Toward Christmas, my mom begged me to visit her where she lived in Mexico. "Just rest for a while," she said. Florida was wheedling. "You don't understand, run together leg. You don't understand. My whole family is here for a reunion thing. I gotta have fucking breakfast with them tomorrow. Now's the time, bro. Don't make me do it alone. The truth is that I'd awoken in the dark hours of the morning with an image sharp in my mind. Santiago's golden arrow, wrapped in blue and purple flames with a spiral in the arrow's head. I'd sketched the design in colored pencil. My pilgrimage tattoo. It would be on my upper arm, pointing ahead, an affirmation that I was on a pilgrimage through life. I only had to keep following my arrow. There were no wrong turns. I wanted to shop around for a skilled tattooist to render my design with panache. Then along came Florida with his urgency, his uncanny timing. Florida claimed that all he wanted in exchange for my $350 tattoo was a partner in crime. I didn't believe him, but I couldn't walk away. It was too much to dream a tattoo and have a complete stranger insist on buying it for me. Come on, bro, he said. Let's do this fucking thing. Who was I to turn away Providence? The tattoo artist had a swimmer's shoulders and light green eyes. I peered into the grimy corners of his workspace. This wasn't my first tattoo. I knew I could handle the sting. My fears were of bad art and dirty needles. I explained in Spanish I wanted to use my own design, but had left it at home. The tattooist shrugged his gorgeous shoulders, pretending not to care if he made money or not. In the shadows of his high cheekbones, there were acne scars that didn't undo his good looks. Florida planted his index finger on a stencil of two dolphins circling nose to tail, the size of a silver dollar. It looked like something a teenage girl might get on her ankle. Ooh, badass, I teased. My arrow would be a commitment to my new personal philosophy. I won't lie, I felt superior. The tattooist loaned me paper and pencils to recreate my design. I flexed my fingers as if warming up to cast a delicate spell. Florida straddled the tattoo chair. He reluctantly removed his tank top, exposing a pale, fleshy torso. I could picture him wearing his shirt on the beach, even in the ocean, not wanting to be the fat guy in front of his family, in front of tan girls in bikinis and brown boys body surfing. I felt a sympathetic pang. As a chubby kid, I'd often worn a t-shirt over my swimsuit. I smiled in what I hoped was a reassuring way. The tattooist applied the dolphin stencil on Florida's lower back, just above his plumber's crack, and loaded a sterilized needle into the tattoo gun. Listo? Woo-hoo! Florida howled. Here we go. The gun buzzed. When the needle made contact with Florida's skin, he jerked away. The tattooist frowned. Dígala que si se mueve así, yo voy a fregar. If you keep moving, he's going to screw it up, I translated. Okay. Florida's eyes were wild. I can take it. But he couldn't. When the needle touched down, he let rip a full-throated scream. People passing the shop paused to stare through the window. The tattooist gave me a look like, what's with your friend? I shrugged, don't look at me, I just met the guy. Tattoos hurt, but it was a pain you could climb into, a pleasant pain. Florida's reaction seemed completely disproportionate. Just breathe, I said, feeling ridiculous. Breathe into the pain. I sounded like a Lamaze coach. Florida's face rinsed pale to pink to pale. Sweat oozed from his brow. Fucking A, he moaned. That hurts. Outside, little kids were deprived of education, playtime, nutrition, and here this drunkard was screaming himself hoarse over the sting of a tiny self-inflicted tattoo in the small of his pudgy back. It was impossible to concentrate. I rushed through my drawing, hoping the tattooist would smooth the messy lines. Tequila, Florida panted. The tattooist rolled his eyes. Vas a sangrar más. It'll make you bleed more, I said. Come on, bro. Florida held out his wallet. Get us a bottle and Marlboros. When I returned, we took a smoke break out on the sidewalk, passing the bottle back and forth. The sunset was full blast. Salmon, lemon, hibiscus. Florida was rambling about his family. 20, 30 of us, he slurred. Don't even fucking know, lost count. Grandparents, aunts. He homed in on my eyes. And her. She's killing me. There it was. Florida begged me not to judge him, and I said I wouldn't. The liquor was kicking in as the story tumbled out of him. I sensed he'd never told anyone before. The girl was his first cousin. She was 15 to his 37. He claimed to be in love. She's so beautiful, he said, tears spilling from his red-rimmed eyes, and just relentless. I mean, the way she teases. His voice was heavy and damp. She says we can't be together, you know, because we're cousins. She says I'm ruining her life and I better stop bugging her or she'll tell her parents. So I say, okay, she's right. I won't go near her. Then yesterday she dragged me into an empty room at the hotel, like a banquet room, and sucked me off right there. I didn't know what to say. When I was 15, I dated a 21-year-old. At 17, I spent a year with a man of 46. These relationships were consensual and neither left me scarred beyond ordinary breakup blues. In my admittedly unorthodox view, morality came down to a question of will. Was Florida abusing his young cousin or was she exercising agency? Probably the former. Probably the worst case scenario. I pictured his sweaty flesh heaped on some lithe teen and recoiled. But nothing under the sun is simple. Here was a guy who needed to cry so badly that he bought a tattoo just so he could break down. The taboo nature of his misery meant he couldn't seek advice, though he obviously needed it. I felt sorry for him, villain or not. Do you think blowjobs count, bro? He asked, his expression utterly earnest. Yeah, I said, handing the bottle back. Blowjobs definitely count. What was I supposed to do with this information? Find the cousin's parents and warn them, be so disgusted as to immediately sever contact, and what would happen to the grand significance of my tattoo if I got into cahoots with this effed up individual? There were no answers forthcoming. That night, I watched the shit show of Florida's total collapse. The pain reduced him to babyhood, to a quivering puddle. But even as his secret repulsed me, it made me understand that he was on a hard walk. Trying to find his way, getting lost, trying again. I had judged his tattoo as trite, but there was nothing trite about the demons he faced. When my turn came in the chair, I wore a tough face, as though to make up for my accomplice's weakness. I was the balls of the operation. Now, the night came in flashes, a stab of pain, a gleam of metal, the insectivore buzz of the gun, the sewing machine action of the needle. With four colors, my tattoo took nearly 3 hours. Florida chattered away, the ultimate coach. You're doing great, he said. You're making me look like a pussy. When Florida had been in the chair, I'd been too embarrassed by his emoting to offer much encouragement. But Florida withheld nothing. He was twice the bro. My arrow is sloppy. The spiral bleeds into itself and the outline is wobbly. Whether because of my distracted drawing or because the tattooist joined us in a few shots, life intruded and made a mess. But I don't mind the flaws. The blurriness makes it accurate. When people ask about my tattoo, I don't mention Florida. I stick to the part about the pilgrimage. People say, oh, I've always wanted to do that, or I could never walk that far. It goes over well. Florida is the sticky underside of the story, the part that's difficult to explain. His emotional nakedness humbled me. He's out there somewhere, my bro. And I hope he's not hurting anyone. And I hope he's okay. When it was over, Florida didn't invite me back to his hotel or out for a drink, a relief. There was a post-tattoo high, the slow ebb of adrenaline. We smiled, we swayed on our feet. We're blood brothers now, Florida said. I wanted to encourage him to find someone else to love, a woman his age who wasn't family. I wanted to tell him to spend his money on a good shrink instead of tattoos and tequila. I said none of this, only thanks for the tattoo. We hugged awkwardly, bro pats on the back, and got into separate taxis. That was the last I saw of him. My cab headed away from the tourist drag and into a residential neighborhood. I smelled the briny Pacific and notes of raw sewage. A soccer ball zinged out of the alley and ricocheted off the taxi. The driver cussed. I had failed to burn my walking stick in Finisterre, but I was on fire now. This marked the true end of my holy walk and the first steps down a new path. The arrow etched into my flesh urged me onward through the city.